Our confessional portion this evening is taken from the Westminster Shorter Catechism and looking at the priesthood, the office of priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And question 25 asks this question: how does Christ execute the office of priest? It says, Christ executed the office of a priest in his once offering up of himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and reconcile us to God in making continual intercession for us. In other words, praying for us and our needs. And along with that confessional portion that I'd like to read from Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 10 to 12. Hebrews deals with the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ over a number of chapters, actually from chapter 5 all the way through to chapter 10. But we're just going to read up to verse 12 from Hebrews 5. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. So far, the reading of God's word. Dear people, God, as we've been following, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfills all of the offices in the Old Testament. He fulfills the office of prophet, as we considered a couple of weeks ago. But he also fulfills the office of priest. He also fulfills the office of a king. And within those three offices, then, all of God's redemptive purposes are covered and provided for. And so the Lord Jesus Christ takes then this office of priest and raises it to a level that the Old Testament system could never do, just as the prophets. They could never bring the full revelation until it happened in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the chief priest, the chief prophet had to come and bring that full revelation of God's glorious redemption, not only revelation of it, but also the reality of it, to complete it, to do actually that which was foretold by the prophets and accomplish it for our salvation. And so the same applies to the priesthood. The priesthood in the Old Testament could never in and of itself provide all that we need. It only pointed forward to what would be provided, but it's only in the Lord Jesus Christ that that provision would come in all of its fullness and in all of its glory. And so to look to the priests of the Old Testament as sufficient is a tragic and a fatal mistake. Just as it was with the prophets. To stay just with the prophets, it would be a terrible mistake. And so with the priesthood, the writer to the Hebrews has to spend, as I said, almost five chapters to establish that point, for them to completely understand. As he says, they're dull of hearing. They need to prick their ears. They need to pay attention. They need to understand. Just as Jesus said to the disciples, you know, when they were perplexed and confused as to why these things happened to the Lord Jesus Christ, the two on the Emmaus Road, you know. Don't you know what happened? Are you the only person in town that don't know what happened? And it's so depressing, and we're depressed, and we're going home. And he has to take them through the prophets, the Old Testament. Help them to understand, because they were dull of understanding. They didn't get it. And so, as the Lord Jesus Christ showed them, all that the prophets spoke about, now suddenly it makes sense to them. It wasn't a time to be depressed. It was a time to be delighted. It was a time to rejoice. It was a time to praise God from the top of our voices and our lungs, because he had done marvelous things. We glory in the cross. We're not depressed about the cross. Now, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is glorious. And if the work of the priests, even as we looked at this this morning, how it comforted God's people, in not only in the dress of the priests, but their task, always bringing the concerns of God's people, bringing sacrifices for sin, so that that peace between them and God would not be interrupted, not be broken. Well, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have everything that the Old Testament pointed to in terms of the tabernacle, in terms of the Holy of Holies, in terms of the sacrifices, in terms of the priest interceding on behalf of God's people. It all comes to a climax and fulfillment in the office of the Lord Jesus Christ as the priest, our eternal priest, our last priest, our highest priest, beyond whom we need no one else. So first of all, in terms of his qualifications, first of all, that he was human. We are taught that every priest is chosen from among men. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God. So the Lord Jesus Christ had to take on humanity. He had to become like us. That Hebrews, of course, talks about even earlier in the earlier chapters, in verse 14 of chapter 2, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So the Lord Jesus Christ in Philippians, of course, speaks about that, Philippians 2, that he didn't hang on to his divine privileges, but rather he laid that aside in order to become our priest, in order to take on humanity, to become a servant, even to the point of death. So the Lord Jesus Christ had to identify with us, so that he might be able to actually take the judgment upon for our sins upon himself in a literal way, not in a symbolic way like the animal sacrifices, but in reality. And so the only way that the divine could do that was to take on humanity. Because as we very well know, God cannot die. He cannot experience death. And so in order to do that, so that the sacrifice was real, the Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient. And later on, of course, it speaks about that in terms of Hebrews chapter 10, that when he is coming, it says, in chapter 10, verse 5, sacrifice an offering you did not desire. In other words, they didn't satisfy your justice. You've required it, yes, as a symbolic way of teaching people, but that didn't satisfy your justice. So what did he do instead? But a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices you had no pleasure, then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. So he took upon himself human nature so that he could become the sacrifice for our sins. And that's why it's so important, and Hebrews makes that point, that's why it's so important that we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ had a human nature. That's why the church went through the struggles that it did in the early centuries of the Christian church over these very facts. And they understood how important the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ is. And Paul teaches the same. When he speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ, it's strange that he would put it this way. Paul teaches that there is one mediator between God and men. And now listen very carefully to what he says when he describes who that is. The man, Jesus Christ. The man, Jesus Christ. He could have referred to his divine nature. He could have said the Son of God. But that's not what he says. He says there's one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. Because it's through his humanity that he actually suffered the penalty for our sins. He could only do it, of course, through the strength of his divine nature, but he felt everything that we would have felt through his body. And so it makes it very clear that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, did become flesh and dwelt among us. The Old Testament, humans were the priests, but they were inadequate because they themselves were sinful. They were descendants of Adam. And so they had to offer sacrifices for themselves, for their own sins. And also, of course, of the people. But before they could go before God's throne, the Holy of Holies, they had to offer sacrifices. They had to wash their bodies. They had to dress in the way that God ordered them to dress. They didn't have the right in and of themselves to march in to the Holy of Holies, as we've alluded to this morning. They had to wear gowns with pomegranate bells on the bottom so that they would not go into the Holy of Holies without it being announced ahead of time, as it were. And the bells did that, reminded them also where they were going and that they needed to be careful. They didn't have an in with God in the sense that they could go in any time they wanted to. No, once a year. Taking the blood of that, the sacrifice with them to put on the mercy seat of God and bring the prayers of God's people to them. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was qualified both on a human level in terms of he was human nature, but also in terms of his state, that there was no sin in him. There was no sin. He didn't have to offer a sacrifice for himself. No, what has he done wrong, said Pilate. He's done nothing wrong. There was no guile in him. No, the sins that he carried upon himself, for which he suffered, as Isaiah 53 makes clear, were not his, they were ours. It's our sins and iniquities that were placed upon him. This is why we need no other priest than him. This is why every priest has to take a back seat to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that we look to now. We don't have any mediators for us. Whenever you have anyone telling us that we have to do this, we have to do that before we can have peace with God and be reconciled to God, the question should always be brought to them, what's wrong with the Lord Jesus Christ? what is missing in the Lord Jesus Christ? What is deficient in his mediating for us? What is it that he left out? What is it that needs to be made up that he didn't do already? Nothing, absolutely nothing. They're put in a very foolish situation where they have to kind of say, no, 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 Christ didn't do enough, we have to do a bit more. And then you're questioning then exactly what Hebrews is saying, which is he's the chief priest. There is nothing more to do. Otherwise, Jesus would not have said it is finished. He would not have commended his spirit to his Father. No, absolutely not. Then he would not have been resurrected from the dead, because that's what we're told. He was resurrected for our justification. He was resurrected as a sign that everything that needed to be done was done, and he rose from the dead, and with him, saints, some saints. Put in an exclamation mark that the work had been fully done. And so be careful then in terms of the priesthood of Christ. Don't mar it. Don't question it by turning to other things or other ways. No, you don't need any more. And that's why it is such an affront to us when other parts of the church present it that way, that we have to continue the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is really essentially the teaching of the Roman Catholic Mass. Then you say, well, if there's something missing, how can you fill it up? How can you make up some deficiency in the Son of God? You cannot. And there cannot be any deficiencies. No, he did it all. And so we thank him. We rest in him. And it's not, as I said, not only the Roman Catholic Church that has that, but there, even in Protestant churches, they have conditions that people put, or leaders put. Oh, you have to do this, or you have to do that. And somehow they hold the key to whether we are accepted by God or not. Well, who gave them that task? There's one mediator between God and men. It's the man Jesus Christ, not somebody else. No, when Christ sets us free, we are free indeed. No one should take us back into bondage. But not only the qualification of humanity, but also he's a sympathetic high priest. Another qualification is the ability to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray or facing temptations. We spoke this morning about leaders that care for the flock, leaders that have a heart for the flock. And that's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. The good shepherd goes looking for his sheep when they go astray. The good shepherd doesn't deal harshly with God, with his sheep. As it says, he deals gently with those that are with young. He understands our situation. He understands the conditions and the serious things that we face in life. And he doesn't shrug them off like, oh, this is nothing. What are you worrying about? Get on with it. No, he's not like that. He wasn't like that with his disciples. He was gentle and patient. He was lowly in heart. He didn't load down people with burdens, but rather lifted those burdens and put his yoke upon them, a yoke that is light, because he always is there to provide all that we need. Even when we are faced with challenges that overwhelm us, as is described in Psalm 23, going through those valleys of the shadow of death, that's how down we are. But he is there with us. And we mention that in our prayers. Even when young people are facing challenges, as well as people of other ages, however mature they may be in their Christian faith, yet God is able, through the Lord Jesus Christ, to speak to them, to comfort them. And even as we've witnessed in the last couple of weeks, somebody that's very young in the faith, somebody that's very immature in terms of they don't have a full understanding of the depths of our salvation, and yet faced with mountain in terms of a challenge, that God is able to sustain somebody like Harrison, that he can go through that most difficult period of life and yet do it with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's not us. That's the ability of our high priest to minister to those of whatever age, whatever maturity level they are at. Now, he was able to lead the thief on the cross into heaven. Today you will be with me in paradise. Not easy coming to faith and then coming to face to face with death. But that's the way our Lord Jesus Christ is. And so he's sympathetic to the situations that we face and the fears that we have. He knows the weaknesses that we have. He knows the temptations that we have. And so when we are faced with those things, he's able to address them because he knows how the devil works. He knows how he plays upon us. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, as a wonderful counselor that he is able to guide us. He's able to bring to our minds and hearts his wonderful ministry that he's already accomplished for us so that we can trust him. Even as the Psalm 73 says, when the psalmist is confused, he goes into the house of God and God is able to help him to see. Then he understood when he went into the sanctuary of God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is sympathetic with every temptation, it says in Corinthians. He's able to provide a way of escape that fits us, that fits our nature, that fits our personality. He knows how to guide. He knows how to keep his own. People of God, however hard we try, we will always be in need of his counsel. We'll always be in need of his steady hand upon our hearts and upon our lives. And we should never forget that. We ought never to try and substitute that with somebody else. We just, not that other people can't help us, you understand, as Christians, but we always keep our eye on the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray to him. We call out to him. I mean, that would be like a family and as somebody needs help, but the son or daughter, they go to their siblings. They don't even go to their parents. They leave their parents aside. Well, it's not that we shouldn't help one another's siblings, but surely we cannot avoid and cannot neglect those that God has placed over us. Skip over them. No, don't ever skip over the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows you better than anyone else. He knows how to guide you, to calm your heart, your mind, to lead you in the way everlasting. And he's not one to judge you. He's not one to say, well, wait a minute, didn't we do this last week and the week before that? I mean, that's the way humans are. We go to them and ask for help and then we do it again. They get fed up. I mean, look at Peter. He says it's 7 times enough. No, with the Lord Jesus Christ, we can come to him over and over again. Not that he doesn't lead us in a way that we progress and that we always stay children because we always running to him. No, no, no. He has all of that in mind, the way that he guides us and leads us to mature, but at different rates. He doesn't say, well, now you should have been up here by now. No, he's gentle. He cares for us. The other qualification, of course, is that he was called. He didn't appoint himself. I mean, he is the Son of God. There would have been nothing untoward. But no, he took on human nature, and so he was called and appointed to that office. It was God that set him apart. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. And then in our passage, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Even in the Old Testament, hints were given that there's a higher priesthood than the Aaronic priesthood. In other words, Melchizedek, you remember who he was? He was a priest that ministered to Abraham when Abraham went and rescued Lot and the rest of the people that were taken hostages. And he brought them back and he met him and he gave him bread and wine. And it says Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. And the scriptures interpret that as saying, look, the priesthood of the Old Testament, the tribe of Levi, Aaron's family, through the loins of Abraham, gave tithes to Melchizedek. In other words, Melchizedek's priesthood was of a higher order than the ones that had from the lineage of Aaron. And the Lord Jesus Christ, similarly, has a higher order of priesthood than the Old Testament. And that's why we speak about him as chief priest. It's God that set him aside. God gave him that office. He was sent as a high priest for us. He was sent to accomplish all that the Old Testament priesthoods pointed to. And he would be an eternal high priest. He would not be handing it off to somebody else, certainly not handing it off to humans or angels. No, no, no. The ministry toward us is so important that it's not handed off to anyone. It is in the hands of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, how much confidence should we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? This is the priest that the Father placed over us. And therefore, for us to go somewhere else and to substitute somebody else, or for practical purposes, we just go to somebody else, it's a tragic and a fatal mistake. We have to have a relationship with our high priest, just as we have to have a relationship with our chief prophet, just as we have to have a relationship with our king. That's a practical relationship. Whenever we're dealing with sins, whenever we're dealing with the ups and downs and struggles of life, it's the Lord Jesus Christ's priesthood that the Father's provided for us and given us open access. And so when you face struggles in life, when you face doubts about salvation and your sins being forgiven, don't go looking for assurances from people. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what he has accomplished for you. Look at what he's done on the cross. Look at what the Bible says about his death on the cross. That's what's going to fill you with assurance and certainty and comfort. Well, what are the functions then of a priest? A high priest is selected, it says, to represent men in matters related to God. So in other words, the prophets, as we've said before, took messages from God and brought them down to the people. Well, the priests did it in reverse. They took the needs of the people and took them to God. Just as we said this morning, the priest's clothing had the names of the 12 tribes on his shoulders, bearing their burdens, and on his heart, having sympathy for them. So when he went into the Holy of Holies, it's their concerns that he went with. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is that for us. But not into the Holy of Holies here on earth, but to the reality to which that points to. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he sacrificed himself as a Lamb of God for us, remember when he finished that work, the curtain from the Holy of Holies in the temple was torn from top to bottom, symbolizing that entrance that we have. Having been justified by faith, we have access. And we follow the Lord Jesus Christ in. It's not that we just go ourselves. No, we're going to him. He is the one that is seated there. at the right hand of his Father. The Lord Jesus Christ represents us as one mediator between God and men, that is the man Jesus Christ. We cannot come through any other way. We ought to be rejoicing that Christ represents us, like a lawyer representing us. But of course, in this case, a lawyer doesn't have to argue anything before the Father, because the Father is involved in everything that happened. He's the one that gave his Son to be a sacrifice for our sins. So no evidence has to be brought to him. He knows it all. And the one that's appealing is the one that suffered all of those things. That's the way Romans 8 talks about it. Who's going to bring any charge against God's elect? No one is able to do that. The Father is sitting there. The Son is sitting there. There's absolutely no question. Nothing to argue about. And therefore, we have nothing to worry about. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if he's our sacrifice for sins, if he represents us, then no one is going to be able to bring an accusation and make it stick, because the Lord Jesus Christ paid for it himself. Not only was he the priest, he was the sacrifice. He was himself the Lamb of God, as well as the priest. He gave himself. And the disciples, of course, couldn't understand it. But in retrospect, they relived it, no doubt, in their minds, and were absolutely blown away as to what he was doing. And they didn't know it. But afterwards, of course, they did. The Lord Jesus Christ was going to his Father's house, and he was going to give himself as a Lamb of God to be sacrificed, to be slain, and God's wrath to come upon him. That's why he was going to Jerusalem. But of course, they didn't want him. And that's why he was sacrificed, but outside of Jerusalem. But nevertheless, a sacrifice that was accepted by God. All of the sacrifices could not do it, as we know in Hebrews chapter 10. Other sacrifices failed. They were only symbols. But the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was no symbol. It was the reality. And now there is no more sacrifice. We don't need any more sacrifice. There can be no sacrifice, because it cannot go beyond what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There's no sacrifice that you can make. One, that your sacrifice is not sufficient anyway, even if you did try. And besides, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect in every way. And so once again, if anyone calls us to say, oh no, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this in order to be saved, in order to have forgiveness of sins, then we have to say again, what is wrong with the sacrifice of Christ? Do you not understand the sacrifice of Christ? Don't you understand how precious his blood was? And you're calling that into question, saying there's something else left for me to do that you prescribe? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, Christ has done it all. We rejoice in him. After all, it was his sacrifice, remember, that disarmed the devil, as Colossians says, made a spectacle of him, because he was, all his powers taken away, all his arguments that he would use on people were null and void, because the Lord Jesus Christ satisfied the justice of God and quietened every accusation. And so the devil was silenced and ridiculed. What is it more then that needs to be done? The Father is satisfied, and the devil is defeated. But he also makes intercession for us. The priest also brought God's guidance to people by the Urim and Thummim that we read this morning as well. They brought the burdens of the people before God, as indicated by the inscription of the names of the tribes on his chest and on his shoulders. So he would take the concerns of the nation and individuals. Well, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ does. He doesn't put the names of tribes on his shoulders. No, we are engraven on his hands. Each and every one of us. I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. No, he prays that prayer for every single one of us. He watches over us that nothing can happen without the Father's will. He intercedes. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. As office bearers in the church, we can't keep 24-hour watch over the members. But he does. He absolutely does. There's not a second of your existence whereby the Lord Jesus Christ is not watching. And not passively, you understand, actively watching. Because he turns everything to our good. He protects us. Even though sometimes we go astray and he permits that to happen to teach us things and bring us back. But he's always watching. Where can I go from your presence? Psalm 139 says. No, we're never out of the Lord Jesus Christ's sight and hands. No, you are in my Father's hands. No one can snatch you out of my Father's hands. No, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for you and for me. And so when we have concerns about people, again, not that we're not to help. We're told to go after them. We're told to talk with them and persuade them, show them where they're going wrong to bring them back. But never think you're the only one. Never think it's all on your shoulders. No, they are far more precious to the Lord Jesus Christ than they are to you. No, he cares for them. And so in our frustration when we're trying to help someone and they're not listening to us and they're going off on a certain track, then you know that's not a good track. Don't be depressed. Don't be down. Don't give up. Don't say, oh no, that's it, they're gone. No, the good shepherd is not going to sit by and allow that to happen. He will always go after them. And so we turn to him, we pray to him, and we intercede for them. We ask the Lord to watch over them as he is and always will. But we express our desires because we love that brother or that sister. But we know and acknowledge that Christ is interceding for them. And so we are more than willing to be instruments in his hands to their restoration. But hey, if that's not going to happen because they're so angry or whatever, so set to go in that direction, don't give up. Don't give up. Let's pray to him. And finally, the benefits that we have. We have a complete salvation. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest should assure us that we have a complete salvation. Never doubt any aspects of your salvation. In fact, as I said, there's too many chapters for us to look at, but it is mentioned in there in chapter 9 and verse 12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal salvation, eternal redemption. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. No, we do not need to have any fears about that. And we will always have access because of that. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. By one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. One sacrifice. That's all that was necessary. And he did it for us. And we have that wonderful assurance, wonderful comfort, that not only has he done that, but he's watching over us. He's caring for us. He's guiding us throughout our life. And we ought to be in touch with that. We ought to actively pursue that. Yes, he's doing it, but we ought to acknowledge it and cry out to him for help. Not to do everything yourself, and then when you're stuck, then you say, Lord, you know, why aren't you helping? No, we ought to acknowledge that. Get into the habit of reminding yourself by doing that, that you are in the hands of the Almighty Savior. And we ought to be confident. That's what it says about when we enter into the holy place. He said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Understanding the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ gives us boldness and confidence. Not to boast, not to act carelessly, saying, no one can touch me, no one can touch me. No, no, no. It doesn't mean that. But it means that we are always confident about our relationship with God, because we're not the ones that are maintaining it. He is maintaining it. He's holding on to us. It's not we holding on to him. The people of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in safe hands. Let us remind ourselves of that. Let us use that in terms of walking with him, resting in him, relying upon him, listening to him as he guides us to heaven itself. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you remind us of the richness of your ministry towards us and the fullness of it. And our Father in heaven, we pray that that would be in the forefront of our minds as we go into another week and we face challenges and trials and difficulties and dangerous situations. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we might be strong and courageous, even as you told Joshua to be, because you would be with him. And our Father in heaven, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. And Lord, we know that he is greater than he that is in the world. And so, our Father, we seek to walk carefully, obediently, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, because with him we can be more than conquerors. Our Father in heaven, we do also pray for Eddie, John's worker, and we ask that you would be with him, and that he would have the surgery, that he would recover, and that he would return in due time. And Lord, we pray that you would be with him and his family, and Lord, be with us all. Keep us in the palm of your hands, for we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Blue Hymnals number 425.